Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
307 DGS on KMOX. Hope everyone's doing okay out there. Maureen said like 140 people stranded. Man, I'm shocked it's that low.
Yeah.
I bet I saw, no kidding, two dozen on my way in on 40.
Yeah, I don't think it was that many that I saw. I didn't think it was quite that. But I mean, it was at least 15.
There were four. Just when I got to, they were probably coming off of Grand or something. I don't think it was Kings Highway, but going east as I was going west, and the plows had plowed a wall, and they just couldn't. I so felt for them. Like, they just couldn't get through it. I don't think I could have gotten through it in the Bronco.
Yeah. I by the way, I saw on Twitter, the Missouri State Highway Patrol, that a car got stuck in the snow median on 70 that I drove past and was telling you about.
The one with the tires and the concrete chunks?
Yes. Gee, I wonder how that car got stuck there. In the middle of the highway. It probably didn't see, I mean, honest to God, you don't even see it because it's all white, right? Like, you can't see the elevation from a distance. And when you get up close, you're like, oh, crap, that's a berm. I can't run into that.
Can I talk about how amazing my fellow humans are?
Yes.
I was watching Aerial America. Anyone ever watch that? It's a great, cozy show.
My parents love that show.
Thanks for making me feel old. And it's super cozy. Anyone eat porridge?
Guy less than 10 years younger than you is like, my parents can't get enough.
Who's incontinent?
I'm just saying that's where I heard about it.
So anyway, it was about adventure racing. And there's one in Death Valley, which we all know Death Valley. And it's five marathon in a row, a climb of 14,000 feet. And you have to do it in 48 hours.
Oof.
And it's so hot, it gets to be 120 degrees. The roads get to be 200 degrees, which will melt your running shoes. And I'm not sure how they contend with that. But even the ultra marathoners end up just fast walking it. And you don't get anything. You get a belt buckle.
Oh.
Like, you literally get a belt buckle saying that you completed that thing. That's as impossible to me as if someone said they could remove their head and put it back on. That's crazy that humans can do that. And then the Iditarod, we all know about that. The snow mushers with the dogs in Alaska. It's 800 miles. And you know how it got started? Back in, like, the before times, whenever it was, the people in Nome had some sort of an outbreak and they needed a serum, and it was in Anchorage. And they had, I think, four different teams of mushers, and they got there in about 2 days or something like that, and they saved the entire community. So in honor of that, they do that.
Huh.
But it can take up to like 30 days, and you and your dogs. And the dogs love it, evidently. Like, they're bred for it.
Have you ever been around huskies?
Yeah.
That's all they want to do is run.
And they wear these little booties, and they go through 2,000 booties in a race. And they carry straw with them so that when they rest, they put straw down so the dogs can sleep on the straw. It's just nuts.
And, I know it's colder.
I don't want to go home and shovel my driveway tonight. Yeah. And these people are going 30 days taking care of dogs.
I know it's colder there than it is in most places here, but good luck if you own a husky or any kind of sled dog, a Samoyed, a Malamute. Good luck getting them in during the winter.
Yeah.
They
just
do
love
it. Yeah, we had Samoyeds. They won't come in. They want to be out in the snow. They lay sleep in the snow.
That's cute.
If you want to get into a good rabbit hole, Dave, on TikTok, just search huskies in the snow. And it's a bunch of huskies that refuse to come in, and they bark at their owners and get mad. It's funny.
Oh, I feel like that would be a real step down in my life again.
Oh no, it's a great rabbit hole.
Searching,
Googling huskies in the snow.
Huskies snow are so TikTok. They're so funny.
How you doing, Dad? I'm good.
Yeah.
Just looking at huskies in the snow.
Yeah.
You know.
My new hobby.
They got attitude, man. They're awesome.
Little too high strung for me.
Oh yeah. You're making a commitment if you're getting a husky.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a lot.
I would like that's a best way to put really it. They're a lot. Fat bulldog.
They're so cute. They're just so cute and sweet.
There's one on TikTok named Shrimpy.
Oh yeah?
Who wears clothes?
Shrimpy.
Oh. I want a Scottish Terrier.
Yeah, those are great.
Terriers are great, they're
cute.
Really
like
high
in the
energy.
Monopoly game?
Yeah, well, I guess that's what
that
is.
Yeah, they're high energy. The Scotties. All Terriers, pretty intense.
Charlie, my parents' dog, who left us a couple of years ago, he was a West Highland Terrier.
Oh, the Westies.
Westie, which are very similar to the same thing, basically, but white, and he was just the best. He was so cute.
He was very cute.
He was so silly and so sweet. I loved him.
I think they're smart.
Thus they are.
He wasn't, but generally they are. He was an exception to some rules, but generally they're very smart.
A lot of energy, man.
I think I've only had smart dogs. I've been pretty lucky. I've been around dumb dogs.
Yep.
You can tell. Just kind of dead behind the eyes.
We've had both.
I've never felt like I had a smart pet. I've never had a pet that I wasn't like, why are you so stupid? Even the cat, even Gigi, not super bright.
The cat. The center of Andrew's universe is like, the cat.
Can I talk about one more weird thing?
Yeah.
I'll just blow this whole segment on me and my weirdness. Most people, like Wheels and I, are both really into science and astronomy and the universe and stuff like that. And I was watching one of my shows, and I knew this already, but the way they laid it out just really got to me. I think most of us realize, if you don't, let me blow your mind, that when you look through a telescope, you're looking back in time.
Yes.
And so if you see something that the Andromeda Galaxy is 1.2 million light years away. So what we're seeing is our nearest galaxy to us, the way it was 1.2 million years ago. We don't know what it was like 1.2 million years and a day until tomorrow.
Right.
The Andromeda Galaxy could be gone.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so if everything ended, it could be that the whole universe just boop, pops out of existence. More likely, it starts somewhere and comes to us. So that could be happening right now, as far as I know. If there are astronomers out there listening and I'm being a dumbass, tell me. But like, if some horrific thing happened and it's just making its way to us and we're just going on picnics and eating Pringles.
Yeah.
And somewhere out there, the universe is just dying. But we don't know.
Well, we wouldn't be able to see it.
We wouldn't be able to see it.
Because all we can see is light.
Yeah. Yes.
And light travels at the speed of light, which takes all that time. Yeah.
And if some other civilization is looking at us, they might be looking at the dinosaurs. Like if they had a good enough telescope, they could be looking at what we were like 65 million years ago.
Maybe that's why they don't want to come here. They're like,
scary monsters. Well, of course, we all know they're already here.
Oh, speaking of, nice segue.
Yeah.
Homo florensis, the Hobbit.
The Hobbit, yeah.
The Hobbit. I read a fascinating article by a real guy. Scientists think he's a crackpot, but he's a real scientist. I think he's at Oxford.
He's, I think he was on the show. You were out that day, but he's...
Who believes that they still exist?
Yeah, Greg something or
it
other.
It sounds right.
Yeah, people, I've seen him. He has done research that the people that live in that part of the world say they see them all the time. And I think they call them like people of the forest or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, which is kind of a Bigfoot kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah.
But
except Littlefoot.
Littlefoot, tiny feet, little heads. But yeah, the people, the indigenous people who live there, and there's something about like Indonesia that it's been cloistered enough that they could have stayed. But wouldn't that be amazing? You go home and Lester Holt's like, we found a hobbit. Here it is. Which would be more fascinating, to find a Bigfoot or to find one of our ancestors?
A Bigfoot.
Yeah?
But they'd probably be something related, right?
You'd think so.
I mean, because it would be some form of ape, and we're
some
an ape.
Some form
we're an
of
ape,
homo, right?
Right? We're an ape, so.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I thought that was cool.
I think the Bigfoot thing would be cooler just in part, maybe just because of the buildup.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about it so much, it would feel like a reward. Where the other
it's
one
like
would
a reward. Yeah, like a reward.
The other
it's
one like would feel reward. Like a surprise, right? Like, oh, that still exists. But like
it's like a reward.
But like when Bigfoot shows up, we're all gonna be like, yeah! I knew it.
So science time with the DGS. How did they write so many great songs?
I don't know, man. It's crazy.
I mean, just honestly, I have many bands I like where I can admit most of their catalog's mid, and they had some great tunes.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But AC/DC, I think it's the opposite.
Is it, and I'm not saying this as a slight. I'm saying this because they're all great. Songs are a lot, they're similar.
Yeah.
Right? There's not a lot of variation in what they're doing. I mean, there's some changes, but I mean, it's maybe the secret is it's just so simple.
Yeah.
They're just good at what they do, and they do what they're good at.
You may be right. Yeah. Razor's Edge?
Yeah. So a couple of things I wanted to talk to you guys about when it comes to technology, AI, the like. This is really depressing. So you think, oh, AI will come along, but our jobs are safe, right? Because you can never replicate a radio personality. They're always going to want us and our specific takes on things and this organic way of creating and talking. Well, it turns out that just 2 hours is all it takes for AI agents to replicate your personality with 85% accuracy.
Ooh.
So, basically participants completed rounds of personality tests, social surveys, and logic games, and were asked to repeat the process 2 weeks later. Then AI replicas underwent the same tests, and they were able to match the responses of their human counterparts with 85% accuracy.
Okay, so that means in 10 years, on the very outside, they'll go from 85 to 100.
Right, because you look at these videos, like Sora, for instance. Maybe Sora isn't the video creation program I'm thinking of, but do you guys know about the video of the prompt was Will Smith eating spaghetti?
Mm-hmm.
And originally it looked super messed up. Like you could tell it was Will Smith, you could tell it was spaghetti, but it was so like mangled and disfigured and it was obviously not him.
Mm-hmm.
That was a year ago. Well, now they did the prompt again, and it still doesn't look quite perfect, but it looks about 100 times better. So by that logic, it's just going to get better mm-hmm. and better to where you can't differentiate anymore.
It fooled me. I saw that, and I thought they were putting the bad video of Will Smith eating pasta up against some, I don't know, pasta commercial or something. I don't know why he would have been eating pasta in this video, but I thought it was real for like a couple of watches. I was like, yeah, that's really him. And then I realized, oh, this is also AI.
So question related to this, right? So 85% now, unless it's 100%, is it going to be noticeable if it's not? If it's 99%? Because like, for example, we are in our DNA 99% the same as a chimp, but nobody would ever mistake a chimp for a human and a human for a chimp. Like that tiny percentage is actually a bigger deal than it sounds like.
Mm. Yeah.
So if it's not 100%, I think we're going to be a little bit annoyed with it, and it's going to be weird, and we're going to look at it strange, and you're gonna like, that's not, there's something, because you can't always verbalize what the difference is. It can be a tone. It can be a different choice of words. Can be a lot of different things. I'd be curious to see if they can get to that 100.
Well, sort of like when the real Kevin Wheeler is a little bit off, we can tell.
Yeah, right.
And vice versa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I saw a post recently online, and it said, I really hoped that AI was going to be able to help me with my laundry and dishes so I could focus on my creative tasks. But it looks like AI is going to be taking over my creative tasks so I can focus on laundry and dishes.
Say that again.
So the hope was AI is going to come in and make your life simpler as far as like manual labor and these things we don't want to be doing. And the creative aspect of life is going to stay for humans.
As I understand it, was a bit of a surprise to the AI people,
mm-hmm.
right? Like they were surprised at how quickly it got the creative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Be interesting though, like this is why I'm fascinated by the whole thing, because some of these things sound awful, right? Being replaced by an AI sounds awful, but what if it figures out the cure for cancer? What if it solves some other bigger problems that we have not... it's always a trade-off, good and bad. There are going to be bad and good things. Like, the internet is both good and bad.
Yeah.
Right? It's terrible for a lot of people and in a lot of its situations, but it's also been life-saving for others.
Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is social media. So on the show, many, many times I've said, oh, social media is so bad for your mental health, and there's these studies that point to it being bad and this and this. Well, there's another study, a new study, that challenges those assumptions about social media's harm to mental health. And I have to give Wheels credit here because he's always saying it doesn't bother him and it's not going to bother 100% of people. Well, a lot of the research that came back whenever they decided to do this study shows that... overall time spent on social media had little to no impact on mental health indicators like depression, anxiety, and stress. And they did this test in mostly predominantly females with an average age of 22 years old. So that like sweet spot of they're old enough to be using social media, but they're also at this age where they're really comparing themselves. And this is like kind of, you would think, the breeding ground for anxiety and depression. Well, a new study has come out that said there was no correlation whatsoever. So I had to give Wheels some credit on that one.
I wonder if it is, and this is no genius comment, but I wonder if it's that a 22-year-old girl today, it's just a part of their life.
I think you're right.
No, that's kind of what I've argued.
Whereas to me, it's like it's new and it's different and it's intimidating. Right.
Well, I think about it like with my parents' generation, they're boomers, with anything technology, with computers, with satellite TV, I'm comfortable with it. I've been using it since I was a little kid, and they're still less comfortable with it, even though they've had it for years. And it's not because any generation isn't smart. It's just what you come up with.
Yeah.
It's what you're used to. And I don't know that I would say that it has no effect. I mean, obviously that study says what it says, but I don't think, I think those things tend to be more revelatory than causation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I really used dumb words there.
No, you used smart words.
They felt
that
weird
cool.
Coming out.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 334. Happy Monday to everybody. I'm sure everyone out there is having a weird day. Either you're at home or your kids are at home or your car's stuck on Highway 40 or something. So kudos to everyone who's having a good time. Sorry to everyone whose car's stuck. I think there's like 150 people out there who are stuck right now. Hopefully the road crews have had a few more hours to put whatever they put down and to do some more plowing. Although I'm thinking, based on what Dave Murray, who's with us now, said a couple of hours ago, that unless you can really get down with that plow and scrape that underlayer of ice off, we might be driving home on some ice. Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you. Yeah, it's tough. You know, sleet and freezing rain, tough. And that's how most of this started for just about everybody before snow took over. And the professionals have real trouble with this stuff. There are people that took the advice and they laid salt down like on their driveway and sidewalks before all this started.
Mm-hmm.
And that kept the sleet from really compacting and kind of it helped. Now, I don't know what MoDOT did. I don't know what IDOT did. I don't know if they pre-treated. It looks like they didn't do a lot of it anyway. But, you know, it's tough. This is a tough storm to deal with.
Yeah. So no more, at least until Friday or the weekend. So at least we don't have any more precipitation coming, right?
Right. Exactly. This is a bone dry Arctic high pressure coming in. We're 25 tomorrow. We're going down to 8 tonight. 25 tomorrow, but the winds will be light. 6 Tuesday night. Wednesday night will be the coldest. Sunny Wednesday, 22. Wednesday night, 3. A lot of folks will fall below zero away from the city. Thursday, sunny and 28. Friday, lots of clouds. There's a shot of snow. And whatever we see Friday will be snow because the high will only be 28. And that would be in the afternoon on Friday. But big questions. It's coming out of Texas. It will be a question of how far north does it get? How far south does the track go? Lots of questions. So the amounts are very, very fuzzy right now.
Okay. All right. So is this?
I promoted a Pat Emery story for you.
Oh, that's right. I love these. First of all, can you tell him the whole connection with Anchorman?
Or
is that part of the story?
No, that's not part of the story. But the word is that Patrick Emery and folks who live through Pat being an anchor here in St. Louis know him, and they can certainly see the similarities anyway. But the story is that Anchorman was based on him. And his personality and his actions and all that kind of stuff. And I have to admit, it's pretty spot on.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any Patrick Emery, Rach?
I don't think so.
You should YouTube it. I grew up with Patrick Emery.
Right.
And my mom was deeply in love with him.
Oh, like most women.
And he was
I just Googled him. He's a very handsome man.
Very, yeah. Very, very suave.
And he knew it.
Yeah, he spiked the ball on a daily basis. But yeah, the story I heard is that Will Ferrell lived in a place where Patrick Emery was the anchor.
Okay.
And that's what he based Anchorman on.
That's so cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. So this is very early on. I started on Channel 5. And when I came to town, I was right out of graduate school. I was of the rookie of rookies. I had no television experience at all. And I'd put together a videotape. Actually, it was a piece of film of me doing the weather with handmade weather maps and the whole shebang. But I did have a little animation in there. And I think that's what really got my job way ahead of my time with that. But Pat didn't want me on the air. I came in September of 1976. So I'm in Fossil. And he was livid that they were going to put me on the air with him as we went into ratings. It was like, you can't put this kid on. And he was not the nicest guy to me mm-hmm. right off the bat. Though I learned pretty quickly to treat him kind of like my big brother. Since I had a big brother, I kind of knew how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to like late November, and there was a situation not as bad as what we're coming out of right now. But the entrance and the exit ramps were really tough. They were slick. The road crews were really struggling with it. And I had never really come back with him because I was a little snot-nosed rookie.
Yeah.
And I was afraid of him to some extent. And he said, Dave, I got to tell you, today I'm coming to work and I'm getting off the 11th Street exit and my car went into a tailspin. And I thought I was gone. I thought my life just flashed before me. And I don't know what made me do it. And I just said, I guess you didn't see much.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. We logged 600 phone calls in about 15 minutes saying, finally, get him, Dave, get him. And then he realized that I was an asset to him. And but that was kind of the beginning of the end of Patrick Emery. It took a couple of years, but it was like, somebody finally calling the guy on the carpet here.
Was he nice to you after that?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Isn't that so typical with bullies?
Yes.
You stand up to them and then they're like, I had a guy one time who I worked for who was terrible. He was awful and treated everyone horribly. And one day in his office, he threw a file at me and hit me in the chest. And I was young and he was not. And I shut the door and he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to beat you up. And I meant it. I knew I would get fired. I might get disbarred, but you know, he can only take so much.
Yep.
And he sits back in his chair, terrified, and he goes, "There it is. There's the attitude I've been looking for.
Oh,
what I've been trying to get out of you. Yeah,
what a loser.
There's a word for that,
right? Right?
Yeah, liar."
But after
no, that wasn't the word I was thinking of. Uh-huh.
After that, he treated me much better. And he must have seen it. You guys haven't seen my eyes go gray very often. I'm a nice guy. But because I'm so passive aggressive, when I'm aggressive, it's a little scary.
Yeah.
And I think he pooped a little. But yeah.
He should have.
But yeah. And I remember that.
You threw something in anger at a grown ass man, you better be ready to fight.
I mean, it was like an after school special.
Yeah.
Like seeing the bully back off and be like, oh, that's the guy I've been looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you found him, buddy.
You found him. Now get out of that chair. Let's go.
I love it. Love it.
Couple headlines, Rach?
Yeah, headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Want to remind everyone, Schnucks did close early today at 3 p.m. Thank you to Wheels for sending me that story earlier today.
Good info.
So, yeah. So please don't venture out to Schnucks at this point. You will be disappointed.
I mean, good for them. Good
yeah,
for them for doing that.
Yes. For sure. And so their workers can get home and get cozy and, you know, don't have to be dealing with this late at night. So I'm glad they did that as well. Okay, so Disney is nearing a deal to merge Hulu Plus and Live TV, that business, into Fubo, according to Bloomberg News. I had never heard of Fubo until Dave Glover got Fubo to watch the Cardinals games. But Disney will own 70% of this new venture, while Fubo TV will hold the remaining shares. Now, this merger does exclude Hulu's subscription video service, and the new entity will operate under the Fubo and Hulu Live TV brands.
Okay, I don't expect you to know this, but since I have Fubo, I'm bad at this. Steve Moore makes so much fun of me. He does. He kind of doesn't like me. And
no, I think he likes you, which is why he does it.
Like,
has he thrown a file at you?
Like, not yet. I don't think I could beat him up. But he said, I want you to do more social media. I said, okay. I said, I don't know how to actually do it. And I made the like thumbs thing. Like, I don't know how to actually do it. And he got so mad at me. We're at Obie Clark's over the break. He's like, you can learn it. You're a smart guy. You can learn it. And today I'm like, oh, I drove Phoebe's car in today because I don't have any windows. And he's like, damn it, Dave. He's like, how have you been this successful and you can't put windows in your Jeep? So I think he's a little done with me. Yeah.
I think he's just trying to help.
I think the cuteness is worn off, which happens with me, with everyone. It took him 4 years. It's fine.
I mean, what I'm able to interpret from this, Dave, is that if you have Hulu Live TV, you are going to have Fubo, too. So that means if you're watching Cardinals games over Fubo, you'll be able to do that with Hulu plus Live TV.
Fubo. Those are a lot of words. Those are hard words to say. Back
yeah,
to back.
They're just nonsense words.
I know.
Someone's tuning in like,
it's
what
Hubo.
Did you just say?
So it's Fubo.
I don't have Disney Hulu, close. But I have Fubo.
Yeah.
So.
And I have Hulu, but I do not have the Fubo.
I'm so confused. I just want someone. When I finally go to a nursing home, I'll be so great because people will do stuff for me. I just want someone to come to my home and go, here's how you watch a Cardinals game.
And just a reminder.
You can do that on the app now.
Don't even start.
Just go straight to it, man. FanDuel Sports Midwest.
My dad is.
Right, and then sync it up with your TV.
My dad is insistent. He brings it up all the time now. He's insistent that this will be the death of like major sports is having to have Prime to watch this game.
Wheels, what do you
and
think
having to watch
I mean,
Apple TV to watch this game.
I don't think so. A couple reasons. One, those games that are only on Prime, forever, they're on network TV in the home markets of those two teams. So people that really care about them see them. But people have more than, I mean, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people have all of those apps. It's not uncommon to have Hulu and Disney and Prime and Apple, for example. I mean, that's just not an uncommon thing.
Yeah,
it's true.
And still, though, the majority of football games are just on regular old TV. They're on network TV.
You just sounded like the lady on the Stop Smoking ad.
That's true.
It's true.
That's true.
That's true.
Okay, feral hogs are terrorizing a Texas town and infuriating locals. They're digging up yards and rooting through trash, frustrating the residents of this town in Irving, Texas. Locals have tried various methods to deter the animals, including setting up cameras and using slingshots to scare them off. I swear this is a real story. The city of Irving has hired a wildlife contractor to address the issue because these feral hogs can cause significant damage in Texas with estimated costs of $400 million yeah. annually.
Just think how scary they'd be if they were will feral hogs.
Probably be pretty easy to get rid of, though.
Just that, big hogs that, with a Will Ferrell face.
I hear that Will Ferrell hogs based on Patrick Emery.
A Melania Trump documentary from director Brett Ratner will be released by Amazon. It's in the works now, and it will be, like I said, distributed by Amazon Prime Video. The film promises an inside look at Melania's life and will be released later this year.
Yay.
This project marks a new connection between Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and Donald Trump, with Amazon also planning to stream Trump's inauguration on Prime Video.
It's true.
Oh.
I have a weird relationship with Melania. Like, it's almost like I can't see her. Like, I'm face blind. I don't dislike her. I don't especially like her. You know what I mean?
She puts out a pretty neutral image.
Yeah.
And I do think that's intentional. So it would be interesting to see a film like this that, you know, supposedly is supposed to give us, like, kind of peel back a couple layers of that onion and see what's going on.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting.
Is this going to be kind of like, though, like the Last Dance thing with the Bulls, but it was Michael Jordan's version of everything?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure she's the one behind the documentary.
I mean, it's going to be like, here's all the stuff I want everybody to know about.
I highly doubt it's like hidden camera footage or whatever.
I don't mean that. I just mean like, it's not, you know, a lot of times the unauthorized biographies are the best ones.
Yeah. All right, Dave, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
That just happened. Wheeler was describing French and Italian and how you speak it and how they do a sing-songy thing, and he goes... And the Italians, they have flourishes, and he raised his arm like a bullfighter.
And then I did a flourish.
Awesome. And he did a flourish. It was awesome.
Yeah, and I meant that for both of them, too, not just the Italian.
It was nice. I liked it.
They like the flourishes.
A couple more headlines?
Yeah, a couple more headlines here. Just a reminder, Jimmy Carter's funeral in Washington, D.C. will take place on January 9th, so a couple days from now. I'm sure that'll be all over the television.
Can I say one thing? Yeah. We haven't talked about him at all, and I grew up with him. And so I was a teenager when he was president. And here's my take. I am not Amy Mark Scores. I am not smart enough or well-read enough to make any intelligent statement about what kind of president he was. I know about the hostage crisis. I know about the malaise. I know about inflation, all that stuff. So maybe he was in the bottom third or even the bottom tenth of our presidents. But from what I understand about him as a person, as just a man and a husband and a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather, that is what we should celebrate. Presidents aren't a dime a dozen, but I think super nice, giving, charitable people are more rare than great leaders. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So honor him as a president and... be thankful, at least in my opinion, that there are still human beings who are that nice.